So good evening to everyone. Before we go into our Friday evening worship for this evening, I'm just going to ask if Sister Elizabeth, if you can just open for us with a word of prayer, please.
Okay, let's pray. Our sovereign God and Father in heaven, the creator of heaven and earth in 6 days, and on the seventh day you rested. Lord, we want to just give you the praise, the honor, and the adoration for your goodness to us. Mm-hmm. For the 6 days of toil, you have been with us, and you have brought us into the end of this week when we are waiting to welcome your Sabbath, O Lord. We thank you, we praise you. Father, we ask for forgiveness of sins before we start, for we have all fallen short of your glory. Mm-hmm. But because of your love for us, you still give us another chance to see this day.
Yes.
Lord, before we start this evening, we ask that you may be with us. May your Holy Spirit fill us. May you fill us with your light that shines from inside out.
Yes.
Whoever is going to break the bread for us, Lord, may everything that he is going to talk to us about or she is going to talk to us about be from you and you alone. We ask that you may be among us. We know that where two or three people are gathered, you are there in our midst. So we thank you, we praise you, we magnify your name, for we know all will be well and all will go according to your will. This is my prayer with thanksgiving, believing and trusting in Jesus' name I pray.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I just want to extend welcome to everyone who has joined us. Auntie Hyacinth, welcome. Sister Maurice, welcome. I know Kyrie's is trying to join on the audio, but if you can hear us, welcome so much, guys. It's always good to come together. Even though our churches are closed, it actually feels like I've been with you guys because I see some familiar faces every week. So it's just so good to see everyone's smiling faces. Tonight, I am going to share a little thought, a little devotion with you, if that's okay. I know you like to have other people come, but tonight, please, just it's the same Holy Spirit that speaks to all of us. So if you just work with me, we can have a short reflection. But before we go into the word, I just wanted Auntie Donna to play a little song, because the sentiment of this song will set the foundation for what we speak about this evening.
I could go on and on. So I'm going to sing and sit down. And if you post this on Facebook, I'm going to come and find you. You can sing along if you know this. You can put your hands together and sing along if you know it. Come on, put your hands together. Y'all remember this one? We recorded it right here. Come on. Yes, he is. He's able.
The words were repeated over and over again. My teacher used to say repetition is good for the impression. It will allow it to sink into your mind. If there's nothing else that you took from that, just know that God is able, not even just able, but more than able. Our scripture focus, our scripture passage comes from Proverbs chapter 3, Proverbs chapter 3 and verses 5 through 6. Let's stop there. Proverbs chapter 3. Five through six. And if when you found it, anyone, if you can just unmute yourself and read that passage for us, please.
Proverbs chapter 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not upon thy own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct thy path.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct your path. Let's just bow our heads really quickly. Father in heaven, as we go into your word, we just invite your Holy Spirit to be with us now. Pray that you'll forgive me, that you'll humble me, and you'll speak through me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 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 I want to just explore the concept of change this evening, if that's okay. Explore this concept of change. When we think of change, is it a positive thing in our minds? That wasn't rhetorical.
Pardon? It can be a positive thing.
It can
be. Change is always good.
It depends.
It depends. What does it depend on?
Depends on the type of change.
Yeah.
The principle behind the change.
Do we like change? How many people like change and enjoy change?
Yeah.
Yes. But it depends on the principle behind it.
What do you mean by that, Sister Willis? Can you expand on that for us?
Where it's coming from, is this of a biblical root or an offspring?
Sorry, I just went to turn the light on. What was your question? Sorry, biblical root.
Where is it coming from? Is it biblical? Does it have a biblical offspring? Is it coming from a biblical root?
I'm speaking in a very generic term, because the weather can change, which isn't necessarily a purely biblical change. Just change in general. I mean, however you want to view change, or you look at change that takes place in our lives, changes that may be ahead in our work settings, in our relationship settings, in our family settings, in health settings, just change, shifting periods and chapters in our life. This light is a bit funny.
If the change has a positive effect on us, does it have a positive effect?
If it is a positive change, and as you were saying, the weather, mm-hmm. God told us that the weather changed because of sin. Mm-hmm. So we expect anything from the weather because it changes because of sin.
Okay, all right. Thanks. So
change that will affect positive changes, yes. Negative changes, no. Outside of biblical principle, no.
Okay.
Because look at the change now in society.
Mm-hmm.
A woman.
Hello, I think you're frozen. Okay, we'll come back to Sister Willis. I think she's frozen. And I don't know what my light is doing. It's flashing. If it's upsetting anyone, let me know. I'll try and correct that. When I was younger, I didn't really enjoy change. And the issue with change is it felt like it was beyond my control, you know? I didn't enjoy the... Sister Willis is back with us now, okay. So I didn't really enjoy things that I wasn't in total control of. I didn't enjoy having... Bear with me a moment. This light is doing something strange. Just bear with me one second. I don't know what's happening here. A strange day today. Weird things like this have been happening throughout the day. When I was younger, I did not enjoy change. I did not like entering into periods of life where I didn't really know what to expect, where I wasn't in full or complete control. I think about shifts that took place from maybe transitioning from primary school to secondary school. Like, I'm looking out here and I only see maybe Kyrese is probably the only... Kyrese, what year are you in? Is Kyrese there or is just his name?
I'm in year 5.
You're in year 5. So you're going to be going to secondary school in 2 years?
Yeah.
Okay. So are you looking forward to secondary school?
Yeah.
Yeah? You feeling confident and ready to go to the big school?
Yeah.
Thank you so much. You see, Kyrese is braver than me. When I was going from that little safety net of my, because I was at Norfolk and then I moved to Highland House. Highland House is a little protected bubble where you're shielded from more or less life. Because you're so protected and wrapped up in the theology. And then I was moving onto a big secondary school in that people said was rough. And when I went to the school gates and I realized everybody was about 7'5", and I'm thinking, what were they eating? Why they're so big like that? And I was quite small, you know. I felt quite nervous of change. You know, when I moved and transitioned from one stage of life into other stages of life, I became quite anxious, quite cautious, and quite fearful at times of change. And I love the fact that everyone in this group is just so confident and excited for change. But I'm going to speak to the one person that maybe in the back of their minds, if they're really honest with themselves, sometimes it can be uncomfortable transitioning from one stage of life to another stage of life when you don't fully know what the outcome might be. You know, I asked about some of the feelings that we feel. Some people didn't speak. Is there anyone else that has any sort of feelings or things that come to mind when they think of change and transition taking place in their life? I noticed that Abby hasn't spoken. Auntie Hyacinth hasn't spoken. Who's this? Ken? Who's that? Is that my dad? I don't know. Is there anyone else that has any kind of feelings?
Asha.
Yes, Auntie Hyacinth.
You talk about change, from moving from one thing to the other. There are quite a few things that I think I'm comfortable most things. But one thing I really don't like, when the change comes, when you have to go to the dentist, I don't, that's freaking me out. I don't like that. I don't like it at all.
Why don't you like the dentist?
Fear the pain.
Okay.
Pain.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else? Any words or any thoughts? What comes to mind when you think of change and transition, moving into the unknown?
Asha, I would say, I think a lot of us don't like change when the change doesn't favor us or puts us in uncomfortable situations.
Okay. Yeah, so I did a little study on change. I wrote down some of the words that the young people said and you're the only person that came up with one of them, uncomfortable situations. People came up with words like powerless and hopeless, but I know that we are so grounded in this proverb here that we don't feel those emotions. But thank you so much for that, Abby. As we get older, And as we just transition through different chapters of our life, we continue to be uncomfortable sometimes and fearful sometimes of change that doesn't favor us. Like Abby said, change that doesn't appear to move in line with the plans that we have for ourselves. I know we are taught to trust in God's guidance and to trust in God's timing and to trust in God knowing the bigger picture. But in many scenarios, we make plans for ourselves. We create timelines for ourselves. We create deadlines for ourselves. We put pressure on ourselves to achieve certain things. And when we feel like the transition and the direction we're moving in, the changes that are happening are not matching the personal plans and timelines that we have, we can feel quite frustrated and we might not enjoy that change. But I was reading about a group of people who were going through just that, a transition from one stage of life or one stage of existence to another. And it's in the book of Exodus chapter 14. And while you turn to Exodus chapter 14, I just give you a little bit of background as to what's happening up to this point. We see that the children of Israel, I'm just gonna refresh us quickly. The children of Israel have been living as slaves, right? We know the story a little bit. They've been living as slaves in Egypt for over 400 years. They've been in captivity for all this time, and you know, the plagues have been poured out, and Pharaoh now has done what many thought was impossible. And they've really released them from bondage after all of this time. Now they're leaving the bondage of Egypt for the freedom that God has planned for them. And just as they've seen God's hands work in a mighty way, they've seen the plagues, they've experienced the first Passover, they come to a bit of an obstacle in their transition into the promise that God has for them. And with that in mind, I'm gonna ask someone to read, because I just don't like hearing my voice too much, from verse 10 of chapter 14, Exodus chapter 14. And if you can read verse 10 for me, please. Just anybody, just unmute yourself and read verse 10 of Exodus chapter 14.
And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So they were very afraid, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord.
Remember what we just said, you know. These guys had been in captivity for 400 years. Mm-hmm. Slaves. Suffering in Egypt. God has delivered them, poured out. They witnessed the plagues. They witnessed it themselves. It wasn't like something that they witnessed the plagues. They've seen God's hand work. They are following Moses into this new chapter of life, into this new direction that God is paving for them. God has promised them. Promise them a new land, promise them freedom, promise them to move into a better chapter of life. And as they're moving in that direction, you know, I like to picture things. Now, I imagine that they're singing, they're dancing. Can you imagine them? They're doing, they're dancing, they're going along, they're celebrating this thing. They're excited about what the future might hold. But they look up and they see something in front of them. Now, for me, I would have thought that after seeing God's hand move in such a mighty way, that you would be very confident. Doesn't that make sense? It's a logical thing, right? If you've seen God do so much in just recently, you've seen him turn impossible situations into possible situations, I would have thought that you would be so full of faith that nothing could scare you. Is it just me that thinks that? No one else thinks that. maybe I'm deluded. I don't know. Maybe it's just me that thinks this stuff. But when I read the story, we see that the same children of Israel, they look up and the Bible says they become fearful. They become afraid and they cry out to the Lord for help. When I was studying the passage, I realized that fear can cause us to do many things. And the thing with fear is it kind of bypasses that logical reason in our minds. When we are in highly fearful situations and a highly fearful state of mind, we can do things without realizing. The first thing that fear makes us is skeptical. They're marching out of Egypt. They're singing their songs, smiles all around, rejoicing at their newfound freedom. And they notice something in the distance. As they notice that their path is blocked, they're a little bit frustrated, but they turn around, maybe we can find another route to go around. And they see chariots, they see horses, they see an army of Egyptians coming after them. So now they're sandwiched between two problems. They've got an army that's very angry coming towards them at the back, and they have a barrier that's before them. And instead of them calling on or remembering what has taken place before, they begin to become fearful and they become skeptical and they turn to Moses and they start to complain. And when we read in verse 11, what does it say? It said, why did you bring us out here to die in the wilderness? It says, were there not enough graves in Egypt? You know, these people had attitude, you know. It wasn't even like they really had attitude as well. They want to ask, they want to be sarcastic, you know. So you don't think there was enough places to die in Egypt? Mm-hmm. You have to take us out here into the harsh desert for us to die in the sand out here. Mm-hmm. When we're afraid, we become doubtful. We doubt ourselves. We doubt God. And we doubt other people around us. Not only does fear make us skeptical, not only does fear make us doubtful, but it makes us selfish too. Did you know that? Did you know, maybe it's just me. I'm just talking about the realities of what happens to us when we allow fear to overcome us. When we're afraid, the only thing we tend to think about is ourselves. We don't think about others. We don't think about God. We tend to focus on ourselves. And this is where I was saying at the beginning that when we allow fear to consume us, we will do things that we are not even conscious that we are doing. Things will take place almost like a reflex action. And it's only in hindsight we start to look back and see some of the crazy stuff that we did as a result of fear taking a grip on us. You know, some of you guys don't, you think I'm making this stuff up. I remember when I was growing up, you guys know Karima and Simeon, because we here, we're family, we can talk. I hope there's no Mackenzies on here, they might get in trouble. You know, I remember when we were growing up and we were all down at Uncle Steve's house, and I don't know where the adults were, I'll be honest. Many of my childhood memories, I don't know where they were, but we were all there at the house. And I remember I was there with Simeon in the living room, and Karima came out of the kitchen and she had a knife in her hand. Now, I don't know what was going on in her mind, but I know she was probably just trying to play some games, you know. You know, she was probably trying to just make some kind of jokes, and she came out and she pulled her hair down in her face and she would do crazy things and jump in. Now, I know that my cousin would never intentionally try to harm me, right? But even as a child, I had enough sense to know that you don't play around with knives, because all it takes is a little bit of the carpet that's sticking up, or, you know, you trip on your lace and you fall over with that knife in your hand and it catch me. What are you gonna say then? Sorry, and hope for the best? So when I saw her coming, You know, I had to try and stay calm. You know, if you look fearful, then they take too much enjoyment out of it and they might continue. So I was trying to be really cool and calm and collected as I slowly moved towards the door of the room. And, you know, as I was going towards the door of the room, I took Simeon with me, you know, not really responsible cousin. And I let Simeon go ahead. And as Kariba started to get more excited and run towards us, we started to run for our life. Now, as you come out of the living room here, you kind of walk around and get to the stairs. I let Simeon go in front of me, right? Because I said, let him run up the stairs. And I don't know about you guys, but sometimes, you know, when someone is in front of you and they're not moving fast enough and you look behind, I saw there was an obstacle in front of me. And I noticed there was danger behind me, and no joke, there was no thought that took place in between these two things. It was like an automatic reflex. I grabbed Simeon and I threw him back down the stairs. And the thing is, I watched him as he rolled down the stairs, and something inside was saying, go back and help him. But the fear was pushing my legs further up the stairs. And it's only when I got to the top of the stairs that I managed to snap back into reality and go back down to make sure he was okay. But I'm trying to show us that when we allow fear to consume us, we no longer make rational decisions. We're not always in control of our thought processes. We will do things and not realize that we are doing them when we allow fear to consume us. You know the other thing that fear makes us? Fear makes us stubborn. We resist change when we are afraid. In verse 12 of that same Exodus chapter 14, what does it say there? In verse 12, can someone read that for me? Verse 12.
Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? But it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness.
In other words, they turn around and they say, didn't we tell you to leave us alone while we were in Egypt? It's like, didn't we tell you this? Leave us alone. Leave us in the bondage that we are in. Leave us as captives. Leave us to miss out on what God has promised for us. Didn't we tell you to leave us alone? Fear keeps people from growing. Fear keeps churches from growing.
Yeah.
Fear restricts us from achieving the very things that God has promised to us, that God has in store for us. Fear will keep us from receiving the blessings that God has for us. I'm looking on here and there's such a broad spread of people. I'm trying to think. I know many of you might have just touched retirement age, isn't it, Auntie Donna? You know, just approaching that retirement age. But
there's not been a reaction from me. So
do you mind?
I'm joking.
Donna is a young lady.
I was just making sure that you was listening. That's all. I just wanted to make sure you were still with me. But I can talk for myself when I think of times when, you know, I don't know if anyone can think back of times when you had to apply for like jobs and or maybe courses and things, and you'll see the entry requirements, you'll see the minimum requirements on there, and you know, you're reading and you're excited and you're about to apply for it, and then you'll see something on there and you think, oh no, I don't have that. And then all of a sudden, you just close the whole thing. You don't even bother apply for it anymore because you're just so convinced that now that I don't have this one thing that was on the requirements there, that there's no way that I'm going to get there. Fear. Fear limits what God is able to do through us. You see a course that you want to do that you've been, that's been on your heart for years, but because you might not have the funds to do it, you don't go and apply for it. Fear limits us. You see a promotion come up at work that you know you are more than capable of achieving, but you look at some of the people that are going for it and you think, oh, well, you know, they don't really look like me, or you know, maybe they've been here a little bit longer than me. And because of the fear of the competition, or because of the fear of a no, or fear of rejection, we do not go for those opportunities that are right in front of us. Fear. Fear causes us to be skeptical. Fear causes us to doubt, causes us to be stubborn, and it will cause us to miss out on the opportunities that God has set for us. The Lord was ready to free the Israelites from 400 years of slavery, and they say, leave us alone. Fear makes us short-sighted. When the Israelites were confronted with the Red Sea, they said our Egyptian slavery was far better than dying out here in the wilderness. They wanted to go back to the good old days in Egypt. They wanted to return. They wanted to retreat. They wanted to backtrack. They had so little faith that God would come through for them that they doubted whether God would grant them freedom, that they preferred to return to slavery in Egypt. But when I read in Isaiah chapter 43, I don't even know where my thing, in Isaiah chapter 43, I realize that God has a plan for my life. And he has a plan for your life. That Amen. Not going to be reversed based on the challenges that happen around us. You know, when I reflect on Isaiah chapter 3, and I want you to write that down. You can go away and read it in your own time.
Isaiah 43 verse 19. That's my favorite as well.
That's So you see it there that the Lord has a plan for our lives. Sometimes we forget just how well God knows us and understands us. And we forget that he's not restricted by human times, human datelines and human perceptions. You know, so, whenever I look back and I reflect upon my journey, and I realize that there were so many times along the way where I felt that it was time to maybe throw in the towel. But I had to remember the God who I serve. Times when things did not line up with my mental plan, but I had to recognize the power of the God that I serve. You know, when I don't know how many drivers are out here. Back in the days, people used to use A to Z, right? And if you use the A to Z and you plan your journey, if you miss that turning, I feel sorry for you, because it's like the whole thing is messed up. But now with technology, you have these things, Google Maps and these things, sat-nav, Waze and stuff that, you know, even if there's an obstacle ahead, the system has like a bird's eye view. It knows where the traffic is. It knows where the obstacles are. And even if you miss your turning, it will recalculate and still get you to your final destination. If we can put so much trust in human technology, why can we not put just a fraction of that trust into the God that we serve? The God that is able to see the beginning from the end, the God that spoke this universe into existence, the same God that that the enemy seek permission from. When you look at the story of Job, he couldn't even do what he was doing without a go-ahead from God. The one who holds the delicate, fine balance of the universe, of the stars, of the planet, of our lives in his hand, the one that knows the number of hairs on our head, why can we not put that same level of trust in him? I reflect upon my journey and I see so many times where I questioned God. I was upset with God. When they turned me down for the loan, I was vexed. I did pray and fasting. I said, but Lord, I'm praying and you should answer my prayer. Gone through hassle and stress and headache and hair thinning. And I'm thinking, why are you putting me through this, Lord? But I failed to realize and recognize and remember that God sees the bigger picture, that God can look down and see the future. God saw the pandemic coming. He said, listen, I know it would have been a lot easier for you if I just gave you the loan there and then, and it would, but you know, you would have been stuck with a significant hundreds of thousand pounds worth of debt to pay back. I look at many of my classmates that graduated, no jobs, pandemic, redundancies, but they're lumped with all of this debt. But God said, listen, even though I did not answer the prayer the way you wanted, I still understood what I was doing. God has a plan for our lives. God understands what the future holds. And even the disappointments that we face today, even the challenges that we face today, God is saying, as you read in the beginning, in Proverbs 3, verse 5 to 6, trust in me, not half-heartedly, not just by lip service, because you know that's what some of us do. We say all of the right words and claim to trust God, but in reality, we're not really trusting in his provision and in his promises. But he says, trust in me with all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. I mean, it doesn't matter what you think is best. It doesn't matter what you might see in front of you. It doesn't matter what the challenges might be, because we're limited in our human understanding. We're restricted. We don't know what the future holds. We don't know how the transition is going to take place into the new chapter of our life. So don't trust or lean or put too much hope in your own understanding. But in every single thing that you do, acknowledge God. Focus on God. Hold on to God. And he will direct your path. You know, sometimes I try to be smart. And I look on that sat nav and I think, you know, I don't know why it's sending me this route, because this route is better. And I drive my own route. And what happened? I will get to a roadblock, or I'll get to closure, and I'll get to something. And I think, I didn't know this was a no entry now. Mm. Too often, we try to do things our own way, in our own timing, take matters into our own hands. But the Lord is saying, do not lean so heavily on your own understanding. Some of us so educated now, we have so many letters after our name, it can't even fit on one line, you know, just multiple lines. And because we're so intelligent, we feel that we can make all of these decisions by ourselves and our own might, but lean not on your own understanding. For at the end of the day, there's only one person that has the bird's eye view. There's only one person that understands truly what is best for us, that will stand by us in our periods of transition and bring us into the best outcome and position that we should be in. That's why he says, lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct your path.
Amen.
When you look at this concept of change, I wanted to try and come up with like a couple of things that we can take away with us, practical things that we can take away with us as we approach change. The first thing that I want to encourage us to do is be flexible and learn to embrace change. Our initial reaction is often to put up a wall and often to be defensive or reluctant to change. We try to protect ourselves by staying far as possible away from change. But in order for us to be truly happy in life, to progress in life, we must learn to embrace and accept change as long as, like Sister Willis said earlier, it's in line with biblical truth. Let me throw that one out there. I'm not saying that every living thing that comes, that we must embrace it and not question it. But in terms of our lives, in terms of our progress, in terms of where God is trying to elevate us and to move us into new challenges, to move us out of our comfort zone, to bring us into the land that he has promised for us, we need to learn to embrace and be flexible to the changes that he is trying to make within us. Do not resist the changes that he's trying to make within us. The second thing is to face our fears. We cannot allow fear to overcome us. We have explored already that the effect that fear has on us. We know the things that fear does to us. We know that when fear overcomes us, we are no longer thinking rationally. We are no longer in full control of our thoughts or our actions. And it is in hindsight that we will regret the things that we have done. We need to face our fears head on and do not allow them to prevent us from achieving. We looked at the example already. I gave you the example already about some of those jobs and how, you know, and I do it all the time. This is something that I'm praying about and trying to work on, where you look at, you know, a job advert, or you look at opportunities, or friends are like, you know, you should try and do this. And then you look at all of the minimum requirements, and then you turn around and you think, you know, maybe I don't have all of those requirements, or maybe I don't have all of the qualifications. But when we think about Philippians 4 verse 19, and it says, you know, my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. You know, when you think about Isaiah 41 and verse 10, that lets us know, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. You know, when we really understand and appreciate the power of the God that we serve, there is nothing that we should really be excluding ourselves from. You know, I want my dad to mute this bit. You mustn't hear this bit. Listen, when I was in school, I did very well. At my GCSEs, I did very, very, very well. But when I went to A-levels, I messed them up. I did so terribly in my A-levels. It was an I just never told anybody because it was too much of an embarrassment. When I look at my degree, it's only by the power of God that I even got onto that program. Because when I messed up my A-levels, I did not have the grades to get onto my course. But I had a choice in that moment, whether to fall to fear, whether to run in the opposite direction, whether to hide in a corner and cry, or whether to cry out to God. And because at that point, there was nothing that I could do. It was not about my own strength, my own might, my own power, my own abilities. I had let myself down, but God had a plan for my life. And I had to push forward anyway. And I had to continue anyway. And the way that God opened up doors after that, you know, he does it in such a way that you have to sit down there and be like, wow, God, you're good, you know. Like, we have limited ourselves for far too long. We have relegated ourselves to the sidelines. We have settled for less when God has ordained us to be the head and not the tail. I don't believe that God wants us to be struggling and to be remorseful and regretful for not achieving our goals and dreams in life. And I believe that God has huge blessings in store for us. I believe that God wants us to excel. God wants us to achieve. But for so long, we have settled for less and we've allowed fear to prevent us from fulfilling our full potential that God sees in us. But our second point is that we need to face our fears head on. One of the tips that help is to write down your fears on paper. And it sounds crazy, right? I'm sharing things that I've learned, right? Because I want to try and be practical as well. Write down your fears on paper. When you're approaching change in your life, when you're approaching a new situation, when you're approaching a new scenario, and you feel that fear bubbling up within you, write down all of the fears that you're feeling at that moment on a bit of paper. Take yourself out of the equation and look at the fears objectively while you take it to God in prayer. Don't ignore them. Write them down. Look at them. Process what those fears are and go to God in prayer. Allow God to reveal step by step why you do not have to fear each of those things. When you see on the paper exactly the things that you are concerned about, God will bring to your mind exactly which passage you need for that thing. He will bring to your mind the correct people to provide the correct advice, to provide the correct support. When you recognize firsthand what those fears are, and you remove yourself out of the equation, looking at the fears objectively, then you will stop dwelling on them and learn to embrace them and let them go. And the final thing is to focus on the things that you and God can control. Life can throw a lot of curveballs at us. I like that phrase. We move in directions that we do not want to go. Change is inevitable. It's unstoppable. It's something that happens whether we like it or not. But one thing that we can control is our attitude and our actions in those situations. Learn to control yourself and not the world around you. But learn how you react in those situations and trust God with the remainder of the outcome. We started with the passage. We'll end with the passage. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your path. Auntie Donna, if you can just play that song for us as we close this evening.
To worry, you did not create me to fear, but you created me to worship daily. So I'ma leave it all right here. Help me say yeah.
You made me for, yeah. So I'ma leave it.
create me to worry. You did not create me to fear, but you created me to worship daily. So I'ma leave it all right here. Trust in. Oh, trust in you, Lord. I will put my trust in you.
Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Father in heaven, we just thank you so much for being just a merciful and a gracious God. We thank you so much for seeing potential in us, even when we cannot see that potential. We thank you so much for having such positive thoughts and plans and purpose for our life. We thank you, Father, that even when we do not see those things and we don't necessarily embrace those things, that you don't give up on us, but we always have opportunities to realign our thoughts and our paths with what you have for us. Lord, when we look at the story, we realize that there was an obstacle in front of the children of Israel. There was armies behind them. They felt trapped, they felt fearful, they had some crazy reactions. But Lord, when they placed their trust and their faith entirely in you, you were able to perform a miracle. You were able to part the waters and allow them to walk through on dry land. And when the enemies tried to step into their blessing, you washed them away. So Lord, in the same way, it's our prayer that when we come up against our obstacles, when we come up against challenges as we transition into new chapters of our life, that we will not allow fear to overwhelm us, but we will trust entirely in the God of creation, in our Father who loves us, who breathed the breath of life into us, and that you will work a miracle in our life to remove the obstacles, to remove the hindrances, to remove the doubts, to remove the fears, and allow us to walk through on dry land. So Lord, we pray that you will just remind us of passages that you promised to us, that we should be strong and courageous, that we should not be afraid or terrified because of anything we encounter. For the Lord God will go with us, that you will never leave us nor forsake us. We recognize that you have not given us a spirit of fear and that we should not fear. Because when we recognize who you are and what you can do, then there's nothing that is impossible, too difficult, too challenging for you. So Lord, thank you, Father, for hearing and for answering. We pray that you'll be with Sister Elizabeth in a special way as she continues to mourn. We pray in a very special way that you'll bless Sister Foster as she celebrates 80 years of life. We thank you and we celebrate her life and the impact that she has had on so many of us. And I thank you for every single person on the sound of my voice. I pray that your spirit will come and visit them wherever they are, that you will lay your hand upon them and answer their prayers and their needs accordingly. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.